Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we, as we just sang, we do glorify and honor you as the way, the truth, and the life. And Father, would you help us to know that truth, that you rule and reign, and as you have forgiven us, we are set free. Father, would your Holy Spirit speak to our hearts and our minds today as we dive into your word. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Has anybody heard of the game Pokemon Go? Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. Maybe you've played it, maybe you haven't. In 2016, this game, Pokemon Go, arrived onto the scene. And believe it or not, even today, 63 million people still play Pokemon Go. 5 years later, in technology age like that, that's years. Pokemon Go is elderly. It's old, right? I mean, it's just the way it is. And this game, players walk the streets like zombies, staring at their phones and hunting for collectible characters. And this is an augmented reality game. It utilizes local streets, parks, houses, public buildings, even private buildings that are used as backdrops for this game. And this game is tied to real live landmarks. And the most popular sites have historic significance in the game. Grace Lutheran, were you aware, has long been a landmark in this game. And weekly, if not daily, do we have people walking or driving around this campus playing Pokemon Go. People are creeping in their cars. If you ever see anybody doing that, more than likely, it's somebody playing Pokemon Go. Like, they're just driving real slow while they're on their phone. Just watch out. They may not be paying attention to you. Even on Wednesday evenings here at Grace, there can be found outside sometimes between 15 and 30 people who are meeting together from outside our community to play Pokemon Go. And this game, being an augmented reality game, it's using the real world, but maybe it's trying to make it better. A definition of things using augmented reality is this: an enhanced version of reality created by the use of technology to overlay digital information on an image of something being viewed through a device. So other augmented reality examples are filters that you see on something like Snapchat or Instagram, where you can have like dog's nose and ears on your photo. Or if you, like myself, if I was with my daughter in the screen, we could switch faces and she would now have a beard even though she's 9 months old, right? Those kind of things. It's augmented reality. There's different apps where you can visualize landscape design ideas at your home just checking it out on that app. You can put things on the picture and filter it in to where you can see what it looks like before you make a big purchase. There's a game called Hot Lava, and where you can turn your living room into just this lava-filled space where you have to jump across your couch and your chairs to get over into this obstacle course. IKEA. Have you ever heard of IKEA? It's a big, giant furniture store, and you have to assemble everything you buy there. It's the devil, really. But stuff's cheap, if you like that kind of thing, assembling everything. So IKEA has an app, IKEA Place, and they let you imagine what their products will look, feel, and how they'll look, feel, and fit in your home. You can just place them there and go, oh, yeah, and they're assembled. That's how they get you, see? They're already assembled in an IKEA place. Yeah, Technology. They need technology to put that stuff together for you. And also, did you know with augmented reality, later in a few years perhaps, teachers will be able to give virtual tours of the human circulatory system? Or experienced surgeons to save lives will be able to view operations remotely and provide instructions to the physicians who are actually doing the surgery. Just think about this. If your surgeon who's operating on you needs instruction, should you have chosen a different surgeon? I don't know. Augmented reality. The real world, but in these examples, perhaps an enhanced version of the real world. So reading the book of Acts, Acts chapter 4, we discover that such augmentation of reality is really nothing new, because in the early Christian church, the real world was made better by innovations that were spiritual instead of technological. Now, spiritual innovations created by Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. One day in the city of Jerusalem, the apostles Peter and John, they're about to enter the temple. And right in front of them is this lame beggar. He's crippled, been crippled since birth. And he's asking for money. He's asking for alms. And Peter says this to him. He says, "I have no silver or gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." And so this beggar's reality is this. He's been lame since birth. Every day he sprawls on the ground and asks people for money as they enter the temple. But now Peter enhances this man's reality by offering him healing in the name of Jesus. And Acts tells us that this man is jumping up. He stood. He began to walk. He enters the temple with Peter and John. And he's walking. And he's leaping. And he's praising God. From being lame to leaping. This is the real world for this man. But now it's so much better because of how Jesus has worked in his life. And actually, the word augmented doesn't really do justice to the transformation that this lame man experienced, because his reality was completely altered. It was more than augmented. To use language that Paul would use, this man is now a new creation because of Jesus. And unfortunately, the healing of this crippled man that Peter did, it upset the status quo. Not everyone wants you to mess with their reality in life, with their truth. When you do, they get upset. Well, this happens in this situation. The captain of the temple and the Sadducees, they come to Peter and John, and Acts tells us they're really annoyed because Peter and John were teaching the people and proclaiming that in Jesus there's a resurrection of the dead, but there's a problem with that. You see, the Sadducees don't believe in the resurrection of the dead. And so as a result, they really don't want to hear about Jesus augmenting reality. They don't want to hear that Jesus has raised people from the dead, because if Peter's teaching is true, then the Sadducees and all these religious leaders of the day, their theological system would just crumble to the ground if it's true. And if the people begin to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Sadducees would lose influence over people. And when you lose influence, what else do you lose? You lose power. And eventually, you lose money. Look at social influencers of the day, today. There are people that are social influencers, and they're so influential, they actually get paid to be social influencers. But if they don't have their influence, they no longer get paid. So you see the problem with what the Sadducees were dealing with here. And check out what happened. They were so unappreciative of Peter sharing about the resurrection of Jesus that in verse 3 it says they arrested him, put him into custody until the next day. They were like, all right, you're going to keep talking? We're just going to arrest you. We're going to lock you up so you can't say this anymore. And look at verse 4, what happened. And notice the first word, but. When there is a word but, it changes the direction of what's happening in the text. And here, this is a very big but, okay? Look at what is said. Many of those who had heard the word believed. So heard Peter and John's message. And what happens? The number of the men came about to 5,000. Now, this doesn't tell you the whole story. That was the number of men that heard and came to believe. Scholars say that there were more than likely women and children there present too, which would have put the membership of the early Christian church around 10,000 people. That's wild. So Peter and John, this message was going viral. They were influencing people, and the Sadducees and all the religious leaders didn't like it. And so as a result, what do they do? Well, we're just going to lock you up. And then later in the book of Acts, in various stories, we see how people are persecuted for their faith in Christ, how they're taken advantage of. They're locked up because the influencers of the day don't want the message to get out. And even today, especially in other countries, but perhaps more so here, there's persecution that happens. And this has been said, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. See, believers can be put into prison and can be killed. It doesn't matter, though. The word of God is living and active, as Hebrews tells us. And the word of God and the message of Jesus cannot be killed by persecuting Christ haters. It's not going to happen. And remember, persecution always strengthens and purifies the church. So you see in the book of Acts, this church that explodes, and it's starting right here in chapter 4. The other thing to know about this, just practically for you and me, when we deal with challenges in life, maybe not persecutions, but challenges, difficulties in life, there are people who don't believe in Jesus in your life that are watching how you respond in those situations. They're wanting to see how you're going to respond. Do you know with kids, have you heard the phrase, more is caught than taught? So you can tell your children to do something, but they learn what they see you do. It's no different in the Christian faith. If you see me being a buffoon, that's what you're going to think I am. Right? It doesn't matter what I say. It doesn't matter what I tell you. It's the same thing. So why am I telling you this? Because you and I have people that are not just listening to what we say. They're watching what we do and how we respond when things get hard. And they're seeing like, hey, man, when things get hard in their life, they cling to Christ. That's awesome. I need to know more about that Jesus they worship. See, so here's what, as we move on, Jerusalem's religious leaders, they arrest these guys. And then the next day, the high priest, other members of the high priestly family, they want to know from Peter and John. And also, it seems like the guy who is now no longer crippled was also arrested, because remember, he went into worship in the temple as well. They were probably all three arrested. And they want to know, what is the secret of the transformation of that man? What happened? And Peter responds with words that are not his own. Acts tells us he is filled, you may say augmented, by the Holy Spirit. He says this, "Rulers and people of elders, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him, this man is standing in front of you well." And he says to them, all of you, by the name of Jesus Christ, whom you crucified, whom God raised for the dead. You need to hear this. Sometimes people say, man, isn't it terrible how like Jesus gives people just a couple of chances and then just allows them to go to hell? Like, how terrible. But look at the book of Acts right here. He's given the people who don't believe in him another chance to believe. He gives us chances over and over and over to know Jesus as Savior. Why? Because he's a loving God. He cares about us. He wants us to know Jesus. That's what he's doing here, even in this text. So what is the secret to the augmented reality or the completely new creation that this guy experienced? Well, it's the power of God seen in the resurrection of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. They are shocked that their authority is being questioned, that these 10,000 people are now believing and converted, a sure sign of something is happening outside of their control. And Peter tells them how this happens. It's because of Christ. See, reality is things as it is. There's no fantasy. There's no illusion. There's no wishful thinking. But augmented reality is things as it should be. See, through the power of Christ, we can move from the world as it is to a world to has it as it should be, because of Jesus. And because of the reality that he rules and he reigns and he is in control. It's a radical augmentation that makes us new creations in Christ. And so you and I have been changed, have been made new. We're new creations because of the Holy Spirit giving us faith, living inside of us because of Jesus living, dying, and rising for our sins. And so this Holy Spirit, once he enters into our hearts, he gives us faith. Something called sanctification happens. It's a big churchy word, but it's an important word. What it means is Jesus makes you to be more and more like him each and every day. So the reason that you can love others is because of Christ. The reason that you can give hope to others is because of Christ. And he makes you more and more like him. So you want naturally to do that. And so when he changes your heart, we can do things like cook meals to feed our hungry neighbors. We can build houses for the homeless. We can, in just our daily vocations of life, in our work, in our play, with our friends, family, neighbors, with people we just meet, we can be kind to them, give them hope, give them encouragement, because we want them to know Jesus as Savior and Lord. For the foster children that live in our community, we can somehow serve them or serve those who foster those children. We can teach children in underserved communities. We can share the hope of Jesus where we are planted. See, the very same, just as Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit, you and I are filled with the Holy Spirit. And our words and actions are augmented by the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. Now, in reality, they're sin, right? But in augmented reality, because of Christ, we find forgiveness. Where on the cross, Jesus took the sins of the world, and through that death, through that resurrection, and the fact that he's coming back again, he's bringing hope and victory and freedom to all of us. In reality, there is death. Benjamin Franklin in the 1700s said what? There's two realities and certain things to happen. Nothing is certain but what? Death and taxes. April 15th passed this year, and you think, oh man, I'm free. But no. May 17th this year, we get to hear about it twice, don't we? Taxes. But see, what about death? Well, death is a reality for you and me unless Jesus comes back. There is 100% chance that you will die, that I will die. There's no inoculate, there's no way to, no vaccine to prevent it. There's no, there's nothing to stop it. You are going to die. Hey, thank you, good night. Okay, that's where I'm going to stop right there. No, you'll die. But you'll live forever. Because in the augmented God reality, we find eternal life. The grave is not the end for anyone who trusts in Jesus. You live. Because Jesus defeated death, you do too. You live. This is the augmented life that Jesus has given you and I. You know, Christians are in truth the freest people in the world. Chad Bird, an author, says this: we've been set free in Jesus Christ. All our sins, no matter how horrific, have been utterly forgiven. All our guilt, no matter how heavy, it's been removed. We've already, in fact, moved beyond death because in baptism we've already died and entered into the unending life of Christ. So you and I can look in the mirror and we can say, there's the person that Jesus deeply and dearly loves. And then after we can so say to them, there is a person that Jesus deeply and dearly loves. See, we walk in freedom. It's a freedom that's used to love and forgive and serve others. And it's a freedom that's given to you and me through Christ. And so you and I, friends, we have the great privilege and joy to receive that love and forgiveness from Jesus. And then we have a great privilege and joy to connect, grow, and serve with those around us in our circles of influence. That's who we are. People who have been changed, who are new creations because of Jesus. Amen. Please rise.